that subject of loneliness. How many's ever felt lonely? Amen. How many's ever felt lonely in the midst of a group of friends? And loneliness is a really difficult emotion to deal with. Pastors oftentimes feel very lonely. That's why we all try to get together and have pastoral fellowship or gatherings together, and because it can get lonely in the ministry. But I really want to share with you something really unique today. And if you'll turn with me over there to Psalm 22, verses 1 through 2, and then also Matthew 27 and 46. So Psalm 22, 1 through 2, and then Matthew 27, 46. Psalm 22, 1 and 2 reads, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. Matthew 27 and 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Father, I pray today that you use me to declare what you spoke into my heart about loneliness. And I pray, God, that those that are hearing this today will understand what this word means not only to us as your people, but to you as our God. And I give you praise for the results of this message. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask for that anointing now. Amen. The grace of God is abundant for our lives. The Bible even says that when Paul went to the third heaven to seek the Lord, and he spoke about having a thorn in his flesh or an attack of the enemy upon his body, God responded to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, God's grace is abundant enough to, no matter what we may be going through, his unmerited favor is there for us. Reading and listening to these powerful words of Scripture brings thoughts of abandonment in my mind, desertion and rejection when I think about my life or I think about others that I've counseled. Abandonment is a strong word. Desertion is a strong word. Rejection is not as strong as those other two, but it's a very painful word that causes oftentimes grief. These words amply describe loneliness, though, which in turn brings emotional pain and confusion to people's lives who feel that place of loneliness. Oftentimes, loneliness can be situational, but not permanent. You can feel lonely one day, and the next day you can feel like you have too many friends. You can feel lonely in a set of people that you know really well, but the next day they vote you in to be the leader of the group. Loneliness has a way of overtaking us mentally and spiritually to where we feel separated, even though we can see that there are those around us. In either case, or other circumstances that can cause loneliness, an abrupt shudder races through your soul when you find loneliness has taken control. Questions begin to be asked in your bruised heart, and the mind becomes sharp and thoughtful. Here in the text, the witness of Jesus questioning loneliness is an amazing area. Questioning God the Father about abandonment is something that is difficult for us to understand, but we have to grab a hold of this through faith and trust and belief in the Scriptures. He's being forsaken in such a time where all reason states, this is the time I need God the most. That's when loneliness usually creeps in, comes part of your emotional makeup. When you seemingly think, I need God right now. I really need Him. Where are you, God? In our scriptures, He's saying, you are far from me. You're not hearing my groanings. I'm crying in the daytime, and you don't hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent, but I'm not feeling you. I'm not hearing you, God. Have you ever been there? Do you know what I'm trying to speak into your life right now? It's something that is very difficult to deal with. In other words, loneliness can be so sorrowful and deep with pain that the escape seems impossible. You can be lonely and go stand somewhere in a familiar place with familiar people, but loneliness follows you. Your countenance will say, I am lonely. And could be described as trying to climb a cliff that is sheer, like glass, with no holds to take hold of. You see that cliff, you know if you can get over that cliff, you won't be lonely, but there is no way to get hold of anything to carry you over that area. Questions continue to be asked in our minds when we are lonely on how we got there and what we must do to get rid of this loneliness. Privately with friends, we may talk to people and say, you know, I'm feeling really lonely. I know as a pastor, there's times where people come and talk to me about being lonely. Or they say statements like, do you really care? Because no one ever has cared before. I've gone into rest homes to minister to the elderly, and they say, thank you, because I'm so lonely here. I've stopped by hospital rooms, and after visiting a patient that I knew, a member of the church, or sent to a family member that I've been acquainted with to go pray with them and walk by another room and been led by the Holy Spirit to walk into that room and just talk to the individual, introduce myself as the pastor of the room next door. And literally, they just wept, some of them, because they're so lonely. I've heard many times that my family has not even come by to visit me. I'm so lonely. You see, sometimes doctors and nurses can't fill what a family member can fill in a lonely heart. How about coworkers? Sometimes it's a coworker you talk to over a break. Man, I'm feeling lonely. You know, it's a guy that doesn't have a girlfriend or a girlfriend that doesn't have a guy. And everybody else is going out on their Friday night dates or parties or whatever it may be, going to church together, and they're lonely. Or even sometimes going into your prayer closet and speaking to the Lord. Jesus was not in a prayer closet when this was fulfilled in the scriptures that we read in the New Testament. The scriptures we read in Psalms 22 were a prophetic statement of what was coming. Jesus fulfilled those prophetic words in Matthew 27 and 46. Also publicly, in a room, testimony service. I don't know if you've ever been in testimony services. Some of you have, some of you have not. I'm assured. but where they stand up and people begin to testify. I've heard people testify, I am lonely. I need friends. Even on Facebook or Twitter, there can be conversations going on back and forth about people that are lonely. It's an amazing emotion. And hopefully, when people read or answer or speak back into the heart, they'll bring some sort of reason for such anguish and emotional agony. Jesus didn't hear anything back from God that day. Not a word. He cried out to him, "Where are you?" I feel abandoned. Looking at these scriptures, one can easily see Jesus suffering unjustifiably on the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind, pain ripping through his already torn and beaten body, seeking with all the passion he could, along with the weakened body and mind, to call out to God for an answer for such loneliness, such despair. The reason is clear. Jesus has suffered for mankind's sin and their rejection of God and his mercy. That's why he came upon this earth. He didn't come down here just to do miracles. His purpose, he came to die on Calvary's cross that we would be forgiven of our sin. Let's never lose sight of what Jesus came for. He didn't come just so we could get answered prayer. He didn't come that we could say, "He's my Jesus." He came to die a horrific, horrible death on Calvary's cross that we would be forgiven of sin and saved. And as we prayed today for the lost of this world, this nation, this state, our community, we're praying for people to meet Jesus because he came to die for them. And he is the only one that can save them and care for them and bring them into the bountiful blessings of salvation. Jesus, for the first time in eternity and now in human time, felt a distinct loneliness that was unfamiliar yet necessary to bring sin's curse and power to an end. Did you hear that sentence? Do you understand that Jesus never felt alone before? Never did he feel separated from God because he is God. The second part of the Trinity, in very much man but yet very much God at the same time. All of a sudden on that cross in such pain, please hear me, such pain, such agony. The worst pain and agony he could ever feel is now that pain of loneliness. God pulling back from his only begotten Son. Because you know, the Bible's very clear. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. As much as this world wants to try to make it okay to sin, it is not okay to sin. As much as this world tries to make it okay to do heinous sins, it's not okay to do any type of sin at all and say that you walk with God. The Bible's very clear. God cannot dwell with darkness. Light cannot dwell with darkness. But when sin comes, we have an advocate. An advocate by the name of Jesus Christ that'll plead our case before God, and our sins will be forgiven because he paid the price for us. He went through the most difficult time that I know of in the Bible. The pain and the anguish, but to be separated from his Father for the first time. And I only can say it in words that I hope we can all understand today. From his Father, for the first time ever in eternity. Alone. Church, I know you know what loneliness is. know that loneliness is something that people are afraid of. I've heard people say, I don't want to go in there alone. I've been called on the phone. Would you please come to the court with me? I do not want to go before the judge alone. Would you mind if a person comes with me as I come to speak with you, Pastor? Because I don't want to come in alone. Loneliness is tough to deal with. Are you with me, church, today? Tough to deal with. Sometimes we pray prayers that are not selfish but could be determined as selfish because we don't want to be lonely. But they're not selfish. They're knowledgeable prayers, knowing that one day, you don't want to be standing alone in a situation or a circumstance. You want support. You want the courage and the encouragement. Jesus gives us that support. He gives us that encouragement. He gives us that courage in our own walk with Him. The enemy of the soul of man would have no power anymore. The chains of sin, despair, fear, doubt, discouragement, and failure would be broken forevermore because Jesus felt that loneliness for you and I. Friend, let me tell you, you can turn your loneliness around to being something positive. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus did something for us that we can feel positive about our identity in Christ today. I say today, shake off the chains. Shake off those chains that may be holding you back. Shake off the chains that literally cause you to feel failure, to feel discouragement, to feel doubt, to feel fear, to feel any despair, the chains of sin. Shake them off. Throw those chains at the altar today. Break the chains that the enemy has bound you with and move forward in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of the living God. I refuse to stand by and watch America fold into the folds and folds and folds of sin, losing the identity of Christ. I refuse to watch a nation or a neighborhood fall away into darkness when we have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell them that Jesus is the answer to every circumstance and situation. That is why Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? I've prayed, I'll be very frank with you today. I have prayed at altars several times, screaming out, God, do you hear me? Knowing that He does, but yet needing an immediate answer. Needing an immediate gratification that God has spoke to me on something. Have you been there, church? Can I get an amen? Have you know what I'm saying to you today? Loneliness is hard. Putting this message together, I felt the Holy Spirit impress me deeply that when I spoke this message, there would be people that would be highly affected by the message because loneliness has gripped them. But bear with me. There's an answer. There's a grace. There's a mercy. I know that there are people by the sound of my voice that have groaned with utterances that they don't even speak by themselves, but the Holy Spirit groaning and giving utterance through them unto God because of their loneliness and their depth of concern. My God. Let's make it first person today. My God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. let me tell you something. God's ear is never closed. His ear is not too heavy, in other words, the Bible says. His arm is not too short. He's always there. And in the night season, and am not silent. What's he saying in those lines? He's saying, I'm praying. I'm going through such a battle that I'm praying day and night. Everything else has been put on the back burner. Everything else has been taken off the table. The only thing on the table now are my prayers. My groanings, my utterings. That's where Jesus was. He was on the altar. The altar of all altars. Calvary. He was on the last altar, the last sacrifice that would have ever been needed. He was on that altar, and he felt the loneliness. And there was no answer. But let me take you to some other place today, if I could. Let me mention one other in the depth of loneliness that is being described today. The loneliness of God as he separated himself from his only begotten son, Jesus. I just felt the Holy Ghost when I said that. I felt the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When God pulled back, he alone, he was not with his son. He was alone. Watching what his son was doing for sinners, for transgressors, for people in total rebellion to the laws of God, to the rules and regulations, who rejects God's love, who rejects God's mercy. People of rebellion. He pulled back. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Church, let me tell you something. I cannot speak for him on how he felt, but I can speak from my heart now that I am sensing depth, that he had wanted to reach across to that cross and pull him back into his arms and say, now come, let us go forth now. No more pain. No more suffering. No more death. I don't want to let you go. But he pulled back that you and I would be free from sin. Who didn't deserve to be free? I didn't. When I look at my life and the history of who I was, I didn't deserve to be free. But God got lonely. His love is indescribable, which he had for Jesus. Now both were alone from one another, at least. This is how we must and actually can reason with this picture painted by the brush of the Holy Spirit on the pages of Scripture for us to read. This is the only way we can really understand this. I'll be frank, I don't understand how God could separate from God. But I'm glad he did. I'm glad that he felt such depth of love for us that he was willing to be so alone. Both hearts broken. Making a determined and qualified decision to embrace such abandonment for the cure of mankind's heart. Just think about that. They made a qualified decision. I'm sure when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't praying the prayer, if it be thy will, because he wasn't willing to go through it. I think he was concerned about the loneliness that he was going to feel, the separation from the Godhead, that because of what we have done, he is going to go through that loneliness. Let me speak to this now. Let me give you three reasons why this loneliness, this heartfelt seclusion was tolerated undeservingly and given as an example to mankind so grace could be understood. You see, when you go through loneliness on this earth, God's grace is abundant for you. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is there for you. Don't let the human self remove God, but bring God into the human self in times of dark loneliness. Don't let despair draw a new roadmap for your life. Let grace cement the road and the path whereby God has placed you on. Don't let discouragement pull you into His arms and choke you to where you don't even feel anything about anything and you can't do anything because you're so discouraged because faith has been ripped from your heart. Let grace guard you like the sentries of heaven would guard Jesus. Let grace guard you as you march through this life, knowing that the Holy Ghost of the living God is inside of you and you are an earthen vessel. Let grace, that unmerited favor. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, in which He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Do you remember, church? Do you remember, individual? The moment that you gave your heart to Jesus, the cleansing that you felt, the freedom that you felt, the burden was lifted, and you knew that you were born again. You were there with God. Let's take a moment, can we, right now, and just lift our hands and praise Him. Let's just thank Him for who He is in our life because He is worthy of all praise. Psalm 22 and 3 says, but You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You are enthroned in the praises of Israel. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You are holy. You are enthroned in the praises of Israel. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let Him rest upon your praises today. Let Him sit on the throne of your praises because He is our God. He is your God. He is my God. He is God Almighty. Reason number one that we would be justified by faith through Christ Jesus. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, since we are justified through faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we've been vindicated. We have been accepted by God. Accepted, taken through. We have been declared acquitted, declared righteous, and given the right standing with God. That's what we have received. We can grasp the fact that the peace of reconciliation has taken hold, and we can enjoy the presence of a relationship with a mighty God. That Messiah, that anointed one, brought us to a place of great love, brought us to a great place of forgiveness. And faith comes into the arena of God's mercy now. And the word speaks out loud, jumps off the page right into the heart of the believer in Galatians 3 and 1. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 and 4. The just shall live by faith. We are justified. We've been set free. We live by faith. We're free in Jesus, and all the chains have broken off. Church, shake them off today. Shake off those chains of worry, those chains that are choking you from believing what God can do. Live in faith in Jesus above. Faith in Christ Jesus, the King of glory and the conqueror of death and sin. We are free, and now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty in your life, in your family's life, in your household. There is liberty, truth, freedom. Secondly, the reason we have been not being already been, but we are restored, recreated, and reconciled. We have already been, because of what he did, restored, recreated, and reconciled. Made into a new person in Jesus Christ to God the Father through Jesus. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Old things. All things. Old things are gone. All things have become new. We are new in Christ Jesus. There's always victory in Jesus. We have triumph through Christ Jesus. We have victorious life is ours. And it's a gift because of what Jesus Christ did. The loneliness he felt. Take your loneliness today. And allow that loneliness to be put into the hands of Jesus, who can handle all loneliness. Who knows what it is to sense such a separation from God that because of that, he took you and made you whole. And the chains that were holding you were broken off. And the enemy comes by and tries to shackle you in chains and shackle you with words and speaks into your life. But be like Paul and Silas, if I may use that familiar story. And be shackled in darkness, in a place of loneliness. And begin to praise and praise and praise till the chains break off. Praise till the door flies open. Praise till where freedom comes. Praise till where others come to know the name Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Praise till Jesus comes through. Amen. Be like Joshua and the group of Israelites who went across the Jordan. Who went across the Jordan and marched around seven times, and on the seventh time, seven times that day, and shouted the walls down. I'll tell you what we need to do is we need to get a shout back in some hearts, amen. A shout believing God can take care of things. Shout down the problems and shout down the enemy coming into your home and shout down the enemy trying to cause despair and shout him down because he has no power in your life. You are born again. You are a child of the living God. You are the brother and sister of Jesus Christ. He is your friend. You are no longer slaves. You are his friend. Amen. Reconciliation brings us into and clearly illuminates the reception of being received into the kingdom of God. Listen to this. Reason three. Jesus stated that he is the door into the kingdom of God. There's no way to get there. He said even if you jump over the wall and get in there, you're going to be found out and you'll be cast back over the wall the same way you came in. He's the door. He is the reception. A door is where you enter. And this is the attention of the Father of Lights, that you enter in. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. John 10, 8 through 10. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and that life they may have it more abundantly. Grace is abundant for you and I. Grace is abundant. He receives us to himself and we are able to stand without fear of death and sin before the Father. I like what he said to the disciples in John 14, 1 through 6. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know that the way you know. Where I go, you know, and the way you know." Then comes Thomas. Then comes church people. There they come walking into this beautiful statement, shackled with doubt, shackled with questions. All the miracles that they've witnessed, chains holding them back from really seeing God do something powerful. Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" He just told him that he was the way. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let me say this to you, church. Let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rule your thoughts and hearts today. Take the chain of loneliness and throw it aside. Jesus will guard you day and night, night and day. He will never let you feel lonely as he had to feel lonely the day on that cross. He will never let you walk alone. You've walked through the door of salvation. You have been greeted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. You have been greeted by a God who went through so much that you can say, "He is my King. He is my God." Shake off the chains of bondage that live in that area where the freedom of Christ should live. What a monumental day that was at Calvary. Sin was destroyed. Broken. No power any longer. The only power that the enemy has is the power that we give him. He has no authority over you, over your home, over your ministries, over your dreams, over your hopes. He doesn't have the power. He endured the cross. He endured the pain. He endured all loneliness, the depth that we would never fully be able to understand. But the grace he has given us abundantly, and it'll always be sufficient for us. We can try to reason this out this morning. We can scribble it out in the pencils on our minds, what they witnessed. But all we really can do is praise him for what he did for mankind. The book of Isaiah opens up in the first chapter saying, "Come, let us reason together." God is saying there, "I want you to come before me. And I'm going to reason with you. I'm going to share my love and my life and my heart and my goals and my plans for humanity. Let me share the reason. Let us reason together." And Jesus did just what God wanted. He obeyed him all the way through to the very end. "It is finished." I want you to take this for a moment spiritually as I close. It is finished. That means that whatever you're going through, it is finished. Whatever the devil has plans for you, it is finished. It's done. It is finished. words that have resounded throughout history to this present day, bringing us to the place of realizing just how much loneliness Jesus must have went through. Not only Jesus, but also God himself. Knowing that and firmly accepting this gives us the ability to not only weep in thankfulness and great appreciation, but also to conclude that we have power over loneliness throughout our life. You see, I believe loneliness has become a foundation in many people's lives to where other things build off of that keep them from really walking in the true peace that God has for them. Because of his loneliness, we have companionship with him. He's our companion. He's our companion. We are never alone, for he is with us and will never abandon us in this life or the life to come. Very clear what he said in the Old Testament and in the New Testament scripture, which I'll refer to. He simply says, Hebrews 13, and he says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Ever. Leave you or forsake you. I want you to, for a moment, to be brave, courageous, willing to take the chains that have bound you mentally, emotionally, and bring them to this altar and lay those chains down. Get free. Bring the chains and throw them down. Let chains off and walk from the sanctuary today free. You are not alone. You are not alone in a crowd. You're not alone in a Facebook app or a Twitter app. You're not alone in a family. You are not alone on the job. You are not alone with a group of friends in a coffee house. You're not alone in a church service where no one understands. Humanity can be cold and crass, but God is warm and understanding. He showed his great love to you and I today.